our series on stewardship this morning with consecration and the celebration of pledges and commitments that we have made and will make regarding our lives and our discipleship. And we conclude with this question. Are you all in? Are you committed? Will you live in such a way that shows others how to live? It might be really easy to say quite off the cuff, I'll try my best. It's much harder for you and I when we realize that others actually watch us as an example. I can remember the excitement that we had in our family when each of our girls started to explore their vocabulary. They had each said their first word, and it seemed like every day there was something new that they had learned, mostly from watching us. Watching language build is exciting until you realize that so much of it depends on you, and what you say gets mirrored and parroted back to you. Elizabeth reminds me of this daily as I hear her share with her sister and her friends a phrase that I am apt to say. I hear her say to the kids around the block, if you go looking for trouble, trouble is sure to find you. Something she's heard her mother say many times over. Felicity does the same thing each time we hear her call her father by his first name. We're reminded that they listen quite carefully to everything that we say. Children say the darndest things, but they remind us that the way that we live, what we say and what we do is like an echo into the lives of others. It was about 2 weeks ago when I was in the drive-thru at Starbucks for breakfast. I pulled up to the drive-thru counter and I was told the person in front of me, the car in front of me, had already paid for my breakfast. Nice surprise that morning. In fact, she informed me I was the last in a line of 12 people right here in Jennersville who had paid it forward by paying for the person behind them in line. I was a little sad there was no one behind me. Actually waited around a couple of minutes so that I might be involved in this act of random kindness echoing throughout Jennersville. But I was the recipient of a random act of kindness of someone I didn't know. I had no idea whose idea it was to start this chain of events. But I'll tell you, it shaped the rest of that day for me. And here I am, a couple of weeks later, still wondering about who it might have been. Maybe you're out in the congregation this morning who started that line of generosity, an unexpected and different way of living. I don't know if that person, whoever they were, or any of the 12 that followed them knew the gospel of Jesus, but I do know that their actions witnessed towards it. Our gospel this morning comes from a familiar section of the Sermon on the Mount, a portion in which Jesus is teaching those closest to him, the disciples and the crowds, who want to hear a little bit more. Now, Jesus is teaching on this day a completely different way of life. I have a feeling Jesus knew it was going to be uncomfortable and different for those who were listening, perhaps nerve-wracking for those who like to know exactly how the future is going to go. Jesus offers these words as a different path from the default worry and anxiety that surrounded his first century listeners, and I think a different path that surrounds us. I wonder how many of you resonate with this image. How many of you are caring for the generation ahead of you? Parents and aunts and uncles, and also the generation behind you, children and their descendants, nieces and nephews. I wonder how many of us have default worry and anxiety when we watch in rapt attention and listen to these concerns about Ebola and about school shootings. When we worry about suspects at large and hungry folks who don't seem to be able to get enough to eat. When all we hear on the news is heinous crimes and moral failures. I don't think it was just the first century listeners that Jesus was talking to with the Sermon on the Mount. I think those words are for us as well. Strive first for the kingdom, and tomorrow has enough worries of its own. I've certainly found that to be true each and every day. It is living in a different way that sets us apart from those who don't know the peace of Christ. This is the kind of life that Paul talks about in Colossians. To live in a rooted and established way, firmly grounded in a faith that you've lived and experienced. There's nothing temporary or quickly achieved that Paul reflects in this verse. It comes from weathering the storms year in and year out, having the challenges and trials of life one after the other. For Paul, it was imprisonment and shipwreck. It was the result of persecution and of trials. But I think for us, we might be able to make our own list of trials and temptations, persecutions and tribulations. And Paul calls us to share that witness in the same ways that he shares his. Now, I understand that the word witness does not necessarily bring up warm and fuzzy images. In fact, I think we've imagined it in only one way. The kind that was made infamous, if you will, by Jehovah's Witnesses and by Mormons, knocking on the door and asking directed questions about salvation. Perhaps the question, have you found Jesus, that the cartoon plays off of. Now hear me to say, I'm not suggesting that that is not witnessing, but I want to expand our understanding. Witnessing to our faith does not always mean sharing the gospel with those we don't know. Witnessing does not always mean quoting chapter and verse in a one-time meaningful conversion with someone you'll never see again. Those are indeed forms of witness, but I wonder if it isn't more compelling to share the impact of Christ on your life through relationship, not a once-and-done conversation, but a series of small encounters derived from a daily and lived faith. A witness in a courtroom is given one direction. Tell what you know. Witnesses are directed again and again not to speculate, not to share what you think is hearsay, but called to tell just what you know. We might not exactly know all of the details of our faith walks. We might not know exactly how it's going to play out or why we did something we wished we'd never done. But we are called to a life of witness. You and I are called to tell what we know. We might look at someone else and say, I wish I had the faith life that he or she does. I can't share my story. It's not nearly the story that they have. But you and I each have a faith walk. We are called to share, called to tell what we know, called to live what we know. We can do no other. I know my life, and I imagine yours, has been shaped by the witnessing of faith of those who probably didn't realize that I was looking. When I was a little girl in my home church, there was a woman who sat in the choir. I was convinced she was an angel. She sang beautifully. She was tall. This is my image. And she was a grandmother of one of my Sunday school classmates. And oh, by the way, she had red hair. Made her pretty special to me. I watched the kindness that she had as she approached the world. And without her ever speaking a word of witness to me, I was shaped by Alice. I wonder today if she knows. It was also in the first church that I served that there was a retired gentleman who returned day after day to that church. And he always found something to tinker with in the church. He was fixing our heating quandaries and addressing the pews that weren't quite balanced. He was quick with a word and just as quick with an apology when, as he would say, a Scotsman, his tongue got the better of him. He gave remarkably freely of himself and of his heart. I doubt today that Kent knows how much he shaped my understanding of witnessing of faith in his life. Without doing anything out of the ordinary, these two individuals witnessed to me and grew their faith and the way that I have lived in Christ. Perhaps I should be a bit ashamed I never asked them the details of why they did what they did, but through their commitment, I was fed. I was inspired. And I was thirsty for more of what led them to do what they did. There's an old story about a salesman who was particularly upset after losing a sale. And as he talked with his sales manager, he lamented. He said, I guess this proves that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make the horse drink. The manager, quite quick on his feet, said, son, take my advice. Your job is not to make him drink. Your job is to make him thirsty. So it is with our witness. So it is with the ways in which we live our lives. Our lives should be so filled with Christ that others have a thirst for the gospel. Want to know, why is it that you do the things that you do? Do you seek, I wonder this morning, to follow Christ in such a way that people watch you, the generosity you offer, or the radical forgiveness that you live and say, wow, how could they do that? I'm not sure if I could ever do that like they do. In just a little bit, we will offer an opportunity for each of us to bring forward our pledges and our commitments to the front of the church here. I know that some have already done this through the offering plates and through the mail, and some folks might not be prepared this morning. However, if you did bring your commitment card this morning or would like one of the extra ones, I had it up here. Extra commitment cards that we have, I want to invite you in a public way to come forward and to witness to the fact that you are taking another step of faith. Whether perhaps your step of faith is through your prayers, is through your presence, is through your gifts, is through your service, you are taking another step of faith. Now I know it might be uncomfortable to come to the front of the church, and it might be uncomfortable to pledge. In fact, I wonder if some folks didn't consider being a little busy this morning as to avoid it altogether. But when we come to the witness part of who God has called us to be, we're asked this question: are you all in? Are you willing to live bravely and courageously in such a way that when others see you, even when you don't realize it, they might discern how to follow Jesus just by watching you? Are you willing to live warts and all? I think of my Scottish friend from my first church who wasn't afraid to live with all of his warts. His apologies came very quickly thereafter. He still showed how to live as a follower of Christ. Making a pledge is not an all or nothing kind of proposition. This might be the year that you begin to write down the thing you've always done for the last 25 years. This might be the year that you increase your commitment to prayer by asking to be added to our prayer chain. This might be the year that you commit to being present every week unless you're sick or away. This might be the year in which God is calling you to serve in a different way than you've always served. This might be the year God is calling you to take a step toward tithing. Whatever your commitment might be, would you consider it this morning as your witness, as one of the ways that God is moving within you and calling you to show others how you are living for Christ and how Christ fulfills who you are and whose you are? This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our last testimony in this series of testimonies this morning is the joint one. Lori McLean and Janice Bowers both serve at Urban Promise and regularly think about what it means to live a life of witness in their job. Would you listen?
My name is Lori. When I think of being a witness to Jesus, I think of someone who has seen him or heard him. And in my mind, I have witnessed Jesus when I read his word, when I worship, when I pray, but also and especially through his people. I witness Jesus. I experience his love and his hope and his forgiveness through the people around me, like my family and the people here at Westford United Methodist Church. And in turn, I'm able to go out into the world and be a witness of Jesus to others. For the past 5 years, I've had the privilege of working at Urban Promise, which is a ministry in the city of Wilmington to children and teenagers who live in very dark circumstances. And I have been able to take the natural gifts and talents that God has given me in administration and combine that with the witness that I have seen of Jesus and serve these children and their families and be a witness to them. And the amazing thing about that process is that Jesus continues to reveal himself to me through these children and these teenagers and their families and my co-workers and the volunteers who come there. And so sometimes it is very challenging and difficult work to see the circumstances that they live in. But being a witness of Jesus, this fullness and richness of life, it gives me hope and it gives me joy every day to be able to use the talents he's given me and to serve others and to see them in them.
Hi, I'm Janice Bowers. When I think about being a witness for Christ, it's more than just telling others about him. It is living life in a way that shows you strive to be like him more and more each day. I focus on the two great commandments Jesus gave us. From Matthew 22:37-40, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." In Sunday school, I was privileged to have Lori as my leader. While sharing about my love for missions and the work I do with children in Ghana, I also shared the great fortune I had to assist with their financial accounting. She shared with me that there was a need at Urban Promise for finance support, and God connected us in a very powerful way. Part of the vision at Urban Promise is to be a community in Christ with servant leadership and transformation, seeking a full life for all involved. We do this by equipping children and young adults through Christ with skills necessary for academic achievement, life management, personal growth, and servant leadership. The core of how we achieve this Urban Promise is love, loving each other, the children, the families, and the staff. A good way to witness is to teach others about Christ and to make them desire to have Jesus in their own lives. The staff at Urban Promise achieves this by living consistent, loving, Christ-centered lives in front of them. Being a witness for Christ in my daily life and work has reaped great rewards. I'm most grateful for what I read in Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, and for those who are called according to his purpose. I was called to Urban Promise by God, and I'm eternally grateful for the opportunity this gives me to witness to staff, volunteers, children, and their families every day. Thank you.
We give thanks to God for the multiple people who over the course of this series have shared their testimonies. And I also want to share that we give thanks to God for the videography that you see as well. We are gifted, by two videographers. They happen to be in the same family. So we're so thankful, Mike, and for Luke, who is at the Philadelphia Project, for them offering their gifts as well. As we seek to find out how God is calling us, we have all kinds of gifts that might be offered. The gift of testimony alongside the gift of videography. At this time, as we offer to God our gifts and our tithes, we also have an opportunity to offer our commitments, our pledges. So I will invite the ushers to come forward for your regular gifts, but also want you to know there is a basket up here for the abundance that God has given you for making a commitment. If you would like to, after offering your commitment, pause at the rail and offer prayer, please feel free.